Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week, we hear from Dr. Jane Vogler, Assistant Professor of Educational Psychology at Oklahoma State University, as well as Dr. Diane Schallert, Professor of Educational Psychology at the University of Texas. They do research that examines, I don't know that I'm going to say this right, so I'll let you all correct me when you get on here. They do research that examines maybe the literacy acumen required to participate in online discussions. Welcome, Dr. Vogler.
Hello.
And Dr. Schallert.
Hi. First, I like that word, acumen.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure that really captured it, but, you know, I thought you all could straighten me out here. So,
that's good.
So, Dr. Schallert, tell us a little bit about this project and how you all got interested in online discussions and how participants make sense of these discussions.
Well, one of the things that we have been interested in is how people participate and learn from talking with each other. And myself, I've been interested in this, and actually Jane has as well in terms of her project and her dissertation. We've been interested in that phenomenon when it occurs in the regular way that discussion takes place in classrooms, which is in face-to-face oral dialogue. But for many years now, I've also used in my teaching online discussion, where many times the students are interacting with each other online in the classroom at the same time and in the same room, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And people will sometimes ask, why is that a good activity to have in a classroom when people could obviously be turning around and just looking at each other rather than looking at their screen and talking with each other? And the main thing that's so interesting about online discussion is that it allows people to interact with each other, all of them freely having access to the floor. Because you perhaps have had the experience of wanting someone to stop talking, like I'm doing right now. I'm holding the floor for a very long time. And that, in an online discussion, never happens because you have a keyboard in front of you and you can contribute if you want to. So it democratizes access to the floor, and that is such an interesting process that I've been wanting to study this for years and years, and Jane and I, as well as a number of other colleagues and graduate students, we pursued this topic over many different topics over the years. So
now, you say in your article that you take a new literacies lens, which argues that there are some new literacies involved in reading and writing with technology, but there are some that argue that there really aren't any new literacies, that there's just traditional literacies reprioritized. Jane, can you talk to, how do you respond to such comments?
Well, that is a good question, because I know when we first started this project, we weren't necessarily thinking of it as a new literacies thing, and that was brought to our attention after we had first submitted the manuscript, and that was one of the very helpful critiques we got back. Actually, several of the reviewers commented on that we maybe were missing something there. So we went back and re-looked at it through that new literacies lens. I think when you say that there may not be necessarily new literacies, but that what technology does is highlight certain things that were always present but in different ways, mm-hmm. may actually be what's going on in this project.
So you agree that there might not be new literacies, but just a reprioritization of traditional literacies?
I want to resist a tiny bit saying that it's exactly the same,
uh-huh.
because one of the things that's really challenging to people who are participating in an online discussion is that they're reading and writing almost simultaneously. The screen in front of them is delivering the messages of other people who are writing their messages to the conversation. So that's a new literacy that we have to practice when we're in that kind of environment, is how to both take in and output or produce back a comment to the message board, and I think that's different than what we're typically used to.
Interesting. So let me see. Diane, let me direct then the question to you. Now that you've done this study, what would you tell teachers?
One of the main things that we would tell teachers, right, Jane, is that people are different when they're in an online environment from each other. I mean, it's sort of like the variety of ways that people approach an activity like this hits us every time we look at our data. And every time we look at our transcripts from these online discussions, what we appreciate is how differently people are participating in the discussion, even though in the end, their messages look somewhat the same. They're all little, you know, they're words on a page and they get printed off in a chronological order. And so it all looks relatively similar, but their experience in the online discussion is so varied.
Hmm.
It makes you appreciate again how, you know, how reality is different from different people's perspective, even though in some ways there's a fiction that there's a socially shared reality that we're all somehow in at the same time, but experiencing differently.
And I guess we'd argue the same is true, you know, if this was a face-to-face conversation. That
exactly. Exactly
it
what I've often mm-hmm. argued, and what I've known from other data that I've done with face-to-face discussions in the classroom.
And if I can add something,
yeah.
I think that something else for teachers to be mindful of is that this is a new thing. Even if we may disagree on whether or not it's a new literacy or not, the experience is going to be somewhat difficult for some of our students in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But what we see through this particular study is that there's actually a lot going on for the students in many different ways, and to accept that awkwardness may lead to something better in the end.
Interesting. So, Jane, let me pick up and continue with you then. Based on the study, what would you tell parents?
Oh, I'm not sure. I hadn't thought about the parent aspect as much as I thought about the teachers and policymakers.
Okay.
I'll say something to the parents.
Okay.
And what I'll say is that I think parents sometimes worry that their children are acquiring bad habits of writing by texting with strange acronyms that the parents don't understand, but
right.
that the kids do understand. Mm-hmm. I feel as if parents should not worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
They should encourage their children to gain facility in expressing themselves in staying engaged with multiple texts that are coming by. I mean, after all, the children are now are reading and writing at a pace that is so much higher exactly because of these new technologies. So I would say to the parents, don't worry. It's good. It's all good.
Yeah, in many ways, I always thought, well, gosh, that means these kids are multilingual, right? Actually, you know.
Exactly.
Which is wonderful. And I appreciate you giving the example of texting, because while you all did a online discussions while everyone's in the same room, texting is probably a very common, similar activity.
Yes.
That they're not in the same room, or they may be in the same room, but
right.
it's certainly online conversations. Now, Jane, you said that you'd thought more about maybe policymakers. Tell us what would you say to policymakers?
Well, I think one of the things that's going on right now in terms of policy is a lot of discussion about online courses, the need for the MOOCs, you know, the massive online
mm-hmm.
open classroom kind
right.
of thing. And while I think that there might be something there, perhaps, I don't know that we're yet ready to say that there's one way that these things should be happening. Our study is looking at an online conversation that happens synchronously,
right.
which is very different from something that's happening asynchronously, which is what online classes and the MOOCs typically are. So
mm-hmm.
I guess I would just be mindful of that moving forward.
Now, something then to maybe follow up on your initial comments were, do today's students, whether they're, you know, K-12 college students, do they need to be taught how to proficiently participate in online discussions, or is it so much part of the culture that they, you know, this isn't something that necessarily needs to be taught? In other words, are these new literacies that are picked up because you're part of the culture, or are there new literacies here that need to be taught to students so that they can better be more proficient in online discussions? I didn't direct my question, but so I'll let...
I'll answer that. I would say that that students, even if they come into the classroom setting having had a lot of experience with chatting or with texting with friends,
mm-hmm.
They often have had very little experience using those same technologies for developing their thinking, for thinking more deeply, for considering alternative points of view,
mm-hmm.
presented via short messages that are coming by very quickly. And so almost always there's a learning curve going on in my teaching when I use online discussion. And I always ask the students to please don't give up on themselves or on the opportunity to have this kind of activity until they've done it at least 3 times, because it's always hard the first day. The first day I always want to pass out aspirin after the first session, because it's so crazy. That feeling of so many messages.
Yeah, yeah.
But by the 7th session or the 10th session, there's invariably people have settled down and have learned how to make good use of the of the medium. I don't mean to say everyone loves it. By the end of the semester, there's almost always one person who continues to feel that it's headache producing, that it just is not their cup of tea.
Yeah. And what do we tell principals?
Jane, do you have something to say for the principals?
Well, I guess I go back to the question that we often hear when we present our research around synchronous online discussions. As the question sometimes comes up, why would you spend class time having a synchronous discussion?
Right.
Technology affords you the opportunity to extend your class time, so you don't have to take up in-class time. And I can imagine there might be some principals who would question their teachers who choose that as an instructional strategy. And I would say that, you know, we don't often question the face-to-face conversations that happen in class. So why is there so much kind of questioning of this practice, you know, this online discussion? Because as Diane mentioned earlier, it changes the conversation. More people have access to the floor. We don't have to wait our turn to speak. And it kind of changes the way you think about things when you write about it and share that versus talk about it.
In some ways, students won't have time to do text messaging because they'll be so busy trying to just keep up with the conversation in class.
Yeah, see, there's the icing on the cake.
Now, Diane, what research are you doing next on this? Where do we need to go in terms of learning about literacy skills required to actively participate in online discussions?
Well, one of the things that sort of relates to the idea of how individuals are are different from one another in how they participate online is a project that we will be presenting at this Literacy Research Association meeting in December.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with people having sort of optimizing the degree to which they want to be different from the group. They want to make distinct contributions to the group, and the degree that they wish to belong or be a good central member of the group. So that balance between being distinctive and being central to the group is the current project that we're doing. And we're trying to figure out whether people who have a high need to be distinctive in their discourse, do they engage in different ways of interacting online.
Interesting. Jane?
Well, one of the things I'm interested in looking at next is how does what happens in the conversation influence the individual when they walk away from the conversation?
Mm-hmm.
So I've done some research on that in terms of face-to-face discussions and trying to link how what they heard in the group affected what they produced individually outside of the group.
Yes, because we have this common
practice. I
want to
look at that in an online context as well.
Yeah, we have this common practice of valuing in-class discussions, right? And so the question is, why do we value those, right? Yeah, that's great.
Great. Thanks.
Dr. Jane Vogler from Oklahoma State University and Dr. Diane Schallert from the University of Texas, we thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
You can find Dr. Vogler and Dr. Schallert's research in the Journal of Literacy Research, Volume 45, Issue 3. Stay current with literacy research. Go to iTunes, Facebook, or Twitter and search for Voice of Literacy, or go directly to our website, www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Vogler as well as Dr. Schallert. We invite you to join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, and post questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.